Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What up, cuz?
DeSean Jackson gets a block! Are you kidding?
Talking with the cuz.
Go, cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Look, cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now, here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, cuz?
All right, good morning, everybody. Listen, it's going to be it's a fun day, right? We got Phillies, Red October, 2 o'clock, so we're going to get excited for that. It's a big football Friday, so it's a big weekend of Philadelphia sports, and we cannot wait for the Phillies, and we're going to be discussing that all day, and we'll get you excited for it. We're going to get into our own situation, and we're going to talk about Philly sports, because that's why you're here, and I want to get into. I'm very excited for the Phillies today. By the way, just while we're talking, and I'm giving you this, you know, from the heart, Chunas is off today. All right, he's fine. Listen, he and I are. If we're not doing it here, we'll be doing it somewhere else. All right, you know, if that's online or whatever, he's fine. He's not going anywhere, but he's off today. Cooper is sick. He's got a cough, and he's sick, so Chunas is home with the baby. In fact, he's going to call next hour to deliver the vault. You know, plus I told him, I go, listen, you know, nestle in with Coop and watch the game, right? Like, you know, he can't wait 11 years, and I know that vibe, man. I know that feeling. So we're like, dude, just sit tight, all right? You know, hug Coop, and, you know. Watch the Phillies. All right, root the Phillies in. So, but he's fine. He's not here today. He'll be back on Monday. But you'll hear him at 11:05. So just so there's no rumors or anything like that, I'm just letting you know right off the bat. All right, Phillies, let's get into some business today. I love him. It was funny. I was talking to my buddy Tooch last night, and he was like, yo, you're like over the moon with the Phillies beating the Cardinals. And he goes, I'm with you to a point. And I'm thinking, is he going overboard? And I keep going back to this thing. I would be disappointed if they did not beat the Cardinals. And I know, look, you know, three games in St. Louis. I get it. Right? I get it. They have, you know, if you're on the road, it's hard to win on the road. You got, such a distinct pitching advantage. Especially today. Like, you got to jump all over him today. Right? This is it. You got Wheeler, who pitched 7 shutout innings in July, 10 days apart. All right? I mean, this is it. He's really difficult on right-handers. You know, it's a lineup that is righty-laden. Goldschmidt, Arenado, Pujols. I mean, your big bats are right-handed hitters. So you got a couple, you know, switch hitters. You got Carlson, and you know, you got a couple guys. But you know, Edmund. But their big boppers are right-handed. O'Neill's right-handed. Like, their big boppers are all right-handed. I think you got the matchup. Now they're going to throw Quintana, and this is where I need a day from Reese, and I need a day from Castellanos. All right? You got a lefty throwing. And listen, he's not trash. Quintana is decent. And, you know, he pitched well against the Phillies when he was with the Pirates. And, you know, he's a crafty guy. He's got a little bite. You know, but he's not Robbie Ray. He's not one of these, you know, these lefties that have great stuff, right? You should be able to hit them. Now, if you go back to the splits, right-handed hitters have hit them pretty well, right? Castellanos has a couple home runs off him. Reese has a home run. JT has a home run off him. So I need the right-handed bats. Now, Schwarber and Harper 0-6, right? You know, they're 0-6. Against him. But I'll tell you, the right-handed bats got to come through today. And I need Castellanos in a big way. I'm willing, like, listen, you know, to me, everybody has a down year. That's baseball, man. The way to really bury this season for Castellanos, the way to do it is have a big playoff and go play hero in a game one. That's how you do it. You play hero in a game one where you just come out, you start smacking the ball around. I want to see Castellanos have a big day because you jump on, look, it's best of three, right? You got Nola going tomorrow against Mikolas. This sets up, man. Could you imagine? I started this whole thing thinking, well, just make the playoffs, especially last week when we were all out of our minds and they get swept by the Cubs. And I'm going on some lunatic rant last week when they got swept and they couldn't hit against whatever his name was, Assad, and you know, three pikers, Cougar Keegan Thompson. They couldn't hit anybody. All right, you get into the playoffs, and now I look at the matchup, and now I got to be greedy. I got to be greedy. I mean, I do. I look at it, and I go, I need to win. I want Braves. Phillies, Braves, division series. Come on, man. We can taste it. We can absolutely taste it. Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. I can see it. I can smell it. You got to win this series. You got the advantage. It's a pick, right? It's a pick. You got the advantage. You got a distinct pitching advantage. You still got a lineup. You got to win. I'm sorry. I got to win. I need a win. They got to take care of business, and we got to continue this Red October. This wild card series is not enough. And I keep going back to it. I know my buddy Tooch goes, you're getting a little too over the top. And I know I'm prone to going over the top. But I look at this matchup, and I love them. I love everything about this matchup. I don't think the Cardinals are that good. I know. You know, Goldschmidt's a stud, and Arenado, and I get it. But the pitching is okay. It's just okay. The rest of their lineup is okay. And when you got Wheeler and Wheeler cooking, I feel good about him. You know, then, you know, you win this series, then what happens with the Braves is gravy. But because I think the Braves are, I actually think the Braves are better than the Dodgers. I think that they're the best team in the National League again. So, whatever. But I think you can beat this Cardinals team. And I'm looking at the right-handed bats. Segura, JT, I need the right-handed bats. And Castellanos. You want the fans to wipe the slate clean this season, Nick? Then deliver. I need you to deliver, dude. That's what it's about. All right, it is a great weekend. We have baseball day to day, playoffs. I love that. Playoff baseball is the greatest because it just goes pitch by pitch. You know, you think about it. You know, we talk about summer and lazy days and, you know, a ball game. What I love about October baseball is that all of a sudden everybody bears down. Right? Everybody bears down. Hitters bear down. Pitchers. It goes pitch by pitch. It's why that sport is great in October when there's something on the line like this. And we got four games today. We'll go over all the games in the series and all. But this is an ode to October baseball. And I need you guys to have fun with me. We're going to come up with the GOAT list, the GOAT moments of October baseball. All right? So I'm going to leave it up to you guys because we always do our GOAT list on Fridays. So if I tell you the GOAT list of October baseball moments for the Phillies, I mean, you know, Victorino comes to mind. Obviously, the Chase Utley in the rain game. There's so many moments, right? You know, Matt Stairs into the night. Jimmy, because Jimmy was bright lights. Howard, right? against the Rockies. There's so many of these moments. And that's just that last run. That's not counting 93 and then, of course, 80 and all those incredible. I mean, Bob Boone, Pete Rose pop up. I mean, that's got to be, that could be number one of all the GOAT list October moments. So I want to vote on that. Let's come up with that stuff as well. We'll talk all about our favorite October moments. In addition, it's a Football Friday, and I don't want to lose birds because, listen, I 5-0. 5-0. That Arizona team is not that good. I was talking to somebody. I was on Arizona radio the other day. I got a good friend of mine, Dan Bickley, who's out there. And they're in trouble. They're in trouble in a big way, that Arizona Cardinals team. They have trouble protecting. Their defense isn't that good. You know, Murray's weapons are okay. Brown, Ertz. I mean, but nothing, you know, that's nothing to write home about. Connor, I mean, they're okay. I'm smelling go out there, and I think it's a double-digit win. I feel supremely confident. Supremely confident Sunday. And, you know, I'm neurotic with this stuff. So I analyze all the matchups. And if you guys remember, I didn't like last week's game. I thought they would win, but it would be close. I thought it would be a sweat. And it's funny because it was early, but they got past the sweat quicker than I imagined. Right? When they're down 14-0 and Jacksonville's is driving, I'm going, see? And then when Lawrence rolls out and he drops the ball, Birds recover, go down 14-7, boom, 14-14, and then they just start rolling. They completed that adversity well before I thought they would, and they just chugged through. They're good. They're really, really good. And one of the things that really stood out, I don't know if you guys watched last night's game, which set back football forever, right? It was just horrible. I don't know what happened to Russell Wilson. I mean, he stinks. First of all, the worst coach in the history, Ed Hackett, is the worst coach in the history of the NFL 5 minutes into his career. You're about to seal the game. Like, they got the ball in the lead. They're up by three. They're driving. They need one first down to kill the clock. It's third down, right? And even if they don't, Indianapolis is out of timeouts. He throws the ball. I mean, he throws it. It was like the Super Bowl when Russ threw the interception against the Patriots. Are you kidding me? He did it again when it was Seattle. Remember when he was with Seattle? And it all he's got to do is go, you know, Marshawn Lynch. They throw it again. It gets picked off, and it's a horrendous throw. Just a horrible throw by Russ. I got to get to Tunis because Tunis is all about Russ. Russ stinks. He stinks. Anyway, the coaching's even worse. And I'm watching that game, and Matt Ryan, God bless his heart. I mean, he can't move. His offensive line can't protect. He's got little weapons, right? He loses Hines to start the game. He's got the best running back of football on the bench, so he can't play. He's hurt. And he's got really no receivers other than Pittman, who is a bad matchup for Denver. So I'm watching him run for, and it's just horrendous football, offensive football, just terrible football, right? But why was it so bad? Yeah, Russ is awful, and Matt Ryan is cooked. But both offensive lines, right? Both O-lines were just bad. And you watch the Rams Monday night, and the reason why the Niners win that game is they controlled the line of scrimmage. It's the cheat code of football. It is. And I'll tell you, Howie Roseman knows how to build an offensive line. He does. Because this offensive line is deep, and it's the reason why, it's the number one reason why they're a contender, and they're that good. Because they can protect, they can open up holes. I mean, look at, you know, you watch that game last night, and the guys are running for their lives. They got, you know, you're harried and harried, and guys are hanging on you. And that's the beauty of this Eagles offensive line. It's amazing. It's the cheat code of football. It really is. It's pretty cool. All right. It's a football Friday, right? It's a Phillies Friday, which I just absolutely love. I'm so excited. Can't wait to talk to you guys. Football Fridays on the Fanatic are presented by Pump Man Philly. You need a water pump expert for your facility for 24/7 emergency repair or pump replacement. Count on Pump Man Philly, the guys to know to fix your flow. We'll come back. We'll open up the phone lines. I got my man R is hanging with me today. Tunis again. We will hear from him at 11:05. Pour one out for my man, the bro.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
You know, when we began opening this vault nearly 2 hours ago, we had no real idea what we'd find inside. As it turns out, we haven't found very much.
Yeah, so this is going to be a very well-oiled machine because I don't think Ray knows the order of what we're going with here. So, Ray, stand by. I know you're going to do this. But my idea this morning for the vault, because things are great right now. The Phillies are about to play in their first playoff game in 11 years. The Eagles are 4-0. We're fired up about the Sixers. Those are the three teams that matter. And the Union, of course. The Flyers exist, kind of. But you've been saying it over and over again, Ant, that it's kind of reminding you of that 1980 run, right? Where all yes. four teams were just riding high.
There's
all
kinds the of era of goodwill in Philadelphia, the roaring 20s. I believe is a throwback from the 80s.
So what I wanted to do today was kind of relive 1980 a little bit. And so I got clips.
Oh, my God. I was like Massimo's age, like fired up, man.
That's awesome. Yeah, so I woke up. I was up bright and early with Coop today. Not even bright. Dark and early with Coop today. And I was like, all right, I got some time to really work on this one. So we'll get the Flyers out of the way because I can't ignore the Flyers. They were a part of this run in 1980. So, dude, I, for the life of me, have said, For the life of me, if you Google or go on YouTube and you look up Gene Hart, just searching Gene Hart, you can't find really anything.
Really?
But dude, I stumbled upon somebody has posted TV broadcasts from 1980. And so finally have some decent Gene Hart audio. So this is just from a regular season game.
Ah, dude, I want to rock you right now.
Yeah, thank God I'm home. But here is an intro, just an intro to a game, an open from Gene Hart. It's a random game against the Stars in the middle of the regular season.
Live from the Met Sports Center in Bloomington, Minnesota, it's the Flyers and the Minnesota North Stars. The Flyers' only appearance in this building this year. They hold an earlier 3-2 victory over Minnesota in Philadelphia. The Flyers bringing in a modest two-game win string, while the North Stars are winless in five, although four of those games have ended in a tie. And Bobby, their coach, Glenn Sonmore, their general manager, Lou Nanny, have been the two most vocal opponents of the so-called Flyers style of hockey. And I just wonder how much their two-year psychological attack on that style of play has affected this year's game.
Well, it helped last year as well, Gene. They averaged 5 power play opportunities per game over the 80-game schedule. But I think it's helped this year. I think what it's done, it's given the league, or has forced the league, into a more wide-open offensive style. They've scored a lot more goals this year in the league than they have in the past. And I think the fans aren't so sure if they like it as well. Because I know in Boston that there was a couple of body checks last game. The fans stood up and cheered. So if they could get a happy medium, they might find it to be a... might satisfy both Sommer and Nanny.
Power plays have bedeviled the Flyers when they've met the North Stars. 6-1 in the earlier game in Philadelphia. With that in mind, we have Pat Quinn. He intends to adjust his Flyer style of hockey tonight. Well, it'll be a red-hot Pete Peters coming off a dandy in Boston against Jill Malone. The Flyers, the North Stars coming up after this.
Oh, my God, dude. Pete Peters.
Yeah, man.
Fabulous.
Yeah, dude, it was a
the
fun
morning. The Minnesota North Stars. Oh, my God. That's so cool.
As awful as it is dealing with a sick kid at home, man, it was a lot of fun just going down the YouTube, or excuse me, the vault rabbit hole, because it's a vault in my house. But yeah, man, that was awesome. And I got
one more
from Gene Hart for you. This is not even the playoffs, but it's a Flyers-Oilers game in the regular season.
Oh, my
Flyers,
God, Edmonton.
Flyers were down a goal, and they go back-to-back, lighting the lamp in less than a minute. There's the two goals today.
Did they pull the goal? All right, let me hear it.
First time the Flyers have coughed up 3 goals in a period since their loss at Minnesota, 7-1. In their zone, cleared but not out to the left point. McElargy toward the net, score! Don Gillen, his first National Hockey League goal on a tip. And the game is tied at 3. And how about that for a thrill for the Edmonton Brandon Wheat King youngster. Leach top of the right circle in the trigger position. Lindsman will try to get him the puck. Gets it to him, but slow, and it's poked away in the last minute by Dave Lumley. Out in front, it comes again. Shot by Prop. Shot by Leach, and the rebound, another shot. He scores!
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, man, this is great.
That is awesome. Leach. Oh, my God. McElargy. Dude, if I told you, like, that's a happy place. Listen to Gene Hart watching the Flyers. Are you kidding me? God, I miss the Flyers.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I bet. Now,
one day. So when they open the season, we got to do, like, a miss the Flyers type of thing. Because I do. That's good stuff right there, buddy.
Yeah, man. It's been fun. Unfortunately, there wasn't really that much great audio for the playoff itself, you know, outside of the Gene Hart.
Oh,
stuff,
we got so. Robbed. That was in 80, that was the offside, the bossy goal against the Islanders.
Yeah. So that was the Flyer stuff. Let's move on to the Sixers. This is lacking, dude.
Magic in the whole thing. Sixers.
Well, I went with Boston. I went with the happy memories, but it's very lacking. They don't have like Game 5. So
really?
I have a random game. I think it was Game 3 in the series, or Game 1, excuse me, because the Sixers were in Boston and took Game 1. So here's how it sounded toward the end.
Dr. J, a rebound that weighs a ton. And with 7 seconds, it's Philly having it knocked away. And Bird saved it and threw it away at the buzzer. And that is it. That is it. Philadelphia with a sensational victory here in Boston in Game 1 of this best of 7. And tonight, the 76ers did something they could not do the entire season, and that's beat Boston in Boston. But when it counted, they did it. 96-93, Philadelphia.
Wow. Who was that, though? That was not a good call.
No, it was a terrible call. I have no idea who it was.
Yeah,
but I'm telling you,
remember
who
that was.
It was lacking.
Big. Yeah.
By the way, say hi to Coop. He woke up from his nap.
I'm telling Uncle Ant.
He's in the arms for the rest of the segment.
I love it.
If you hear any background noise, it's the baby boy. So continuing with the Sixers playoffs. I believe this was a young Brett. I couldn't really tell. Nothing was labeled in the vault. I did a bad job with that. But it was a young Brett, I think, doing a little recap of the 1980 NBA playoffs leading up. Oh, there's the cough. Leading up to the NBA finals. So, you all right, buddy? So here's Brent kind of giving a recap of the playoffs.
In Philadelphia, the 76ers, removed from the spotlight by the Celtics resurgence, are quietly yet efficiently advancing to a showdown. The feisty Atlanta Hawks just cannot contain the Sixers' front line, and Philadelphia joins Boston in the Eastern Conference Final. It's the Birdman and his high-flying Celtics against the 76ers cast in the unfamiliar role of the underdog. The Coach Billy Cunningham's men have a shock in store for Boston. Playing inspired team basketball, the 76ers pull off the upset of the playoffs in convincing fashion, 4-1. It'll be the Philadelphia 76ers against the Los Angeles Lakers for the NBA championship. A surprise, not to Billy Cunningham.
People think...
Wow. Young Brent.
I thought that was Brent.
That was definitely Brent. Yep. That was definitely Brent. That was awesome.
Nice little recap. It was great. I love
this. Yeah, I love that.
Music, man. It was just so much better. The old music. It's great.
Yeah, they get that old disco music.
All right, so now we'll move on to the Birds. And this one, I'm glad that I'm not sitting next to you because I think you might actually legitimately punch me in the face because you're going to get so excited. But we'll move on to the Birds. And before we get, we'll obviously play the Montgomery touchdown. You have to. Before we do that, here's the NFL Films, John Vicenza talking about the 1980 Eagles. It was like a 25-minute video. I'll send it to you later because I know you'll go nuts. But here's a little clip from it, dude. It was just awesome to hear it this morning.
When the Eagles defeated the Dallas Cowboys, they won the NFC title and wiped out two decades of dreadful memories. In just 5 years, the Eagles had gone from patsy to powerhouse. A remarkable achievement by a group of remarkable men. It had been 20 years since the Eagles had won a championship. That joyous day at Franklin Field had long since faded into years of cruel jokes, dashed hopes, and empty Januaries. But in 1980, the long wait ended. It began under the summer skies at Westchester State College. Coach Dick Vermeil and his staff ran the toughest training camp in the league. But it was just the kind of program that could propel a team towards a title.
Wow, that was awesome. Dude, are you kidding me?
Yeah, dude, you would have punched me if I was next to you, so I'm really glad I'm not.
That's a shot in the arm, man. I would love that. Are you kidding me? Under the summer skies in Westchester State University.
Yeah, dude, it was awesome. I'll be honest, I watched the entire video.
Oh my god!
I only have to get like a minute long clip.
I need an hour of it. Oh my god! Oh my! Summer skies. I love that stuff, man. That's poetry, dude.
It's absolute poetry. Now, of course, you mentioned beating Dallas, so we have to play it. Wilbert Montgomery in the backfield. Go ahead, Ray.
Amy gives more than he has to give on every single snap.
Wilbert Montgomery now is the deep. It's Montgomery with a ball. With the room to go, Montgomery might go. Wilbert Montgomery, touchdown Philadelphia. 42 yards by Montgomery. Straight ahead.
That's his 12th touchdown of the year. Out of Abilene Christian. You might recall Monday night a year ago, it was his play on short yardage, the big one that actually broke the back of the Dallas Cowboys. He went outside of Ed Jones, and Sizemore just took Jones down.
Two touchdowns last week against Minnesota. If he's hurting, it doesn't show. Montgomery, 42 yards.
Wow, dude, that was awesome. Are you kidding me? Montgomery could go. He can go. He will go.
Yeah, it was a great call.
Summerall's the greatest.
So perfect. Yeah,
And Brookshire. Oh, my God. Brookie.
Yeah, that was great.
That was incredible.
All right, so that's it for the
Birds.
How
about the crowd, dude? Like, you know what's amazing is, like, that video. It's so old. But the crowd, you can still hear it. Crowd roar.
Yeah, man. That was a loud, loud roar. And we'll finish off, man, with the Phillies because not only is today
we got a Cardinals lineup. The Cardinals lineup has been posted.
Ooh, what do we got?
All right. I'm going to do that, and then you play the Phillies. All right, you ready?
Okay.
So here we go. Leading off for the Cardinals, that Lars Newt Bear. All right?
Stop!
So he stinks. And they're going to make him lead off because he's a lefty, right? Batting second. Oh, my God. Albert. Pujols is hitting two.
Juice
is hitting second. Wow. Batting third for the Cardinals, of course, Paul Goldschmidt. Hitting cleanup, Arenado. Playing second base and batting fifth, Donovan, who's a lefty, who's not bad. Playing center field and batting sixth for St. Louis, Dylan Carlson, who's a switch hitter. Hitting seventh, playing left, who actually once upon a time liked, because I thought he had some left-handed pop, but he's not had a good year, is Corey Dickerson.
Yeah, former Philly's great.
Yep. Batting eighth, behind the plate, Molina. Yada here, Molina. At shortstop, batting ninth for St. Louis, Tommy Edman, who Wheeler owns. So once again, Newt Barrett, Pujols, Goldschmidt, Arenado, Donovan, Carlson, Dickerson, Molina, Edman is your St. Louis lineup for today.
Can't wait to be celebrating at 5:30, a game one win.
I know. I know. Wait, as soon as the Phillies lineup comes out, I'm refreshing it. I can't wait.
Ah, beautiful. All right, so let's do the Phillies vault. Here is the intro, and I don't even know who this play-by-play guy is, but here's the intro to Game 6 of the 1980 World Series from Veterans Stadium.
Veterans Stadium in Philadelphia. A beautiful night for baseball, 60 degrees, and these Philly fans are really ready, as I'm sure you can hear in the background. Hi, everybody. I'm Joe Garagiola, and we're getting ready for Game 6. We're going to have over 65,000 cheering fans here in Philadelphia. They're expecting the kind of a game they've been watching throughout this series. A series that has seen either ball club going to the ninth inning with a chance to win. The Royals, they're capable of winning here in Philadelphia, as capable as the Phillies were winning in Kansas City to bring it back 3-2. Royals fans are asking, can the Royals win? The Phillies fans, when they're not cheering, are saying, how soon will the Phillies fall behind so they can catch up and win?
Wow, that's awesome. Joe Garagiola. Check that out.
Of course. Good friend of mine. All right, so I'm going to hang up, because Cooper's getting fussy, but I have one more for you. We got to end it on a good note. Here is the final out of the World Series, Game 6. Everybody have a great day today, and have a great rest
Love
of the show.
Buddy.
And I'll talk to you guys on
Cooper,
Monday or tomorrow.
I'll call you
later. All right, see you guys.
Later.
Strike, Willie Wilson. There you see the canine corps in the background.
Oh, my God.
Out of the security here. Stadium. We talked about it before. Kansas City bullpen making their way in. Fouled off. UL Washington, the on-deck hitter. It is two strikes on Billy Wilson. Base is loaded. Two outs. What pressure on McGraw? What pressure on Wilson? Tell you what happens.
Chills. Absolute chills. Oh my God, that's awesome. That is fabulous.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, joining us to talk about the other Cardinals game, and that is Sunday, Eagles and Arizona Cardinals. He's on his way out there from The Athletic. I love talking to him every Friday. The great Zach Berman. Zachariah!
Anthony, good talking to you. It's not often that a 4-0 team gets second billing, but that's what playoff baseball brings you, right?
Yeah, listen, man, this has been a long time coming for this team. You know what I mean?
I hear you. Nick Sirianni had his red October shirt on at the press conference today.
Yeah, I love him. I do. I love that dude. I swear to God, he's the best. Because you and I have talked about him before in this way, but he's such a sports guy. Like, that's the simplicity of it. He's a sports dude. When he went on that podcast, right, you know, he was so spot on with when he went on the Pat McAfee. He was like, you know, sports is his hobby. Football's his hobby. Like, what hobbies? I love this stuff. And I appreciate that, Zach.
Absolutely. I've had conversations with him about, you know, teams from when he and I were growing up, right? You know, because I'm 36, he's 41. We were following the same teams when we were kids, and it's like two guys at a bar talking about the teams when they were teenagers.
Yes, that's right, man. It's the best. It really is. It's the best. All right, so let's examine some things. First of all, did you watch that game last night?
Oh, I did. Yes.
Oh, that was ugly. My God. Dude, first of all, Hackett might be the worst coach to ever come into the NFL. I mean, what in the world is he doing throwing the football in that spot? By the way, is Russ more cooked? How cooked can you be?
Yeah, and, you know, I've heard people talk today about the Eagles dodging a bullet because they, I mean, I would say this, make no mistake, there was interest there from the Eagles. There wasn't really interest there from Russell Wilson. So as promising as the Eagles' situation looks right now with the way Jalen Hurts is playing, with the cap space that they have, with the draft picks that they have, the overall picture would look a lot different had they traded for Russell Wilson.
Oh, my God. I thought the same thing. I go, oh, because listen, you know, you got to think about Russ. Like, if Russ is available at that point, you got to think about it.
I still think he can play, right? But whatever's happening now, this is ugly.
Well, it also made me think about, and you both those teams. I mean, you know, obviously Ryan is cooked too. But here's the thing, you know, they are, their offensive line, it really screams how good the Eagles' O line is.
Sure.
Like when you see it. And it really is the cheat code to the league, especially now that you need to throw the football. The cheat code is offensive line. And you saw last night that neither of those guys had time to throw. There could have been a dozen picks.
Yeah, you're absolutely right there. And, you know, what the Eagles' offensive line allows them to do in terms of giving Jalen time, but then also you saw them run last week, right? They can beat you in so many ways. And a big part of that is how they are at the line of scrimmage. Now, some of that's going to be tested with injuries, but it is it's a credit, frankly, to the way Howie Roseman's built this roster that they're so loaded on the offensive line.
I know, dude. It really is amazing when you think about just how good that line is and the job that and Howie knows how to build a line, put together a line. It's really impressive.
Yeah, you know, that's where they spend their resources, and also they build quality depth there. So I've been covering this team long enough and growing up in this area to know that there's a lot of eye rolls sometimes when they keep spending draft picks on offensive and defensive linemen, but this is why they do it, to have the depth and protection there.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, a couple things. One, let's give me an Arizona scouting report, because what I've seen so far, I think that's a team that's vulnerable. That's a team that has trouble protecting. It's a team that has trouble sustaining offense. And I'm not even in love with their defense. So I'm curious, even though Kyler Murray is such a playmaker,
yeah,
I feel good about this game.
Yeah, you have to feel good about the game just based on the way Arizona's playing. This is a team that does not look particularly good nor particularly well coached this season. That said, despite the way Kyler Murray's played through four games, I still think there's so much talent there. We've seen it over the past few years. If you remember that Eagles game, that Eagles Cardinals game from 2020 during the pandemic, I mean, he lit the Eagles up. He helped bring them to the playoffs last year, Arizona. So I look at it like, there's always the chance of a big Kyler game, number one. And number two, I still think Kyler's the best quarterback that the Eagles have faced yet this season, even though he's been inconsistent. So I agree. The Eagles have favorable matchups. They're the better team. It's not a particularly tough place to play. The only concern is if Kyler has one of those vintage Kyler games.
Yeah. I'm feeling you on that. What was the vibe off of last week as far as Miles Sanders was concerned? Because, you know, we talked about Miles. We both were excited about Sanders, especially knowing that you're going to be facing a lot of teams giving you seven in the box, and they were able to really run the ball when they needed to in that kind of weather. They were able to rely on them.
Yeah, so that was a huge performance from Miles, first in terms of volume. You know, 27 carries, the most in his career. You seldom see a back get 27 carries these days, and he did a good job with it, and he came out of the game well. And then he had productive runs too, right? The career high 134 yards, it wasn't based on like a 60-yard run that built it up. He, if you look at his 100-yard games in his career, he had his longest run was the second lowest of all those games, but he had the most runs of 10 plus yards, which shows you that he was able to pick up, you know, consistent chunk plays, but he didn't need that one huge carry, which he's had in the past. Now, when I went back and I watched the film of the game, what jumped out is what we discussed a moment ago. The offensive line absolutely dominated, and the effect that Jalen Hurts had in the running game was huge too. You see times, you know, if you're watching that Jags game, Devin Lloyd, the middle linebacker there, he was just flummoxed by what the Eagles were doing, and a lot of it had to do with Jalen's threat as a runner. So really impressed with the line and Jalen's role in Sanders' success.
All right, so let's talk about the health of the line. So Jordan Mailata said he dodged a bullet with that shoulder because he felt like the shoulder popped out. What are you hearing? How you know, because there's talk that he may play Sunday.
Yeah, so I just got off the practice field about 20, 30 minutes ago, and he was not out there at the beginning of practice. He came out during stretching, but did not have his helmet. Did not appear that he was practicing today. So we'll get the full injury. We'll get the final report in a few hours here, but based on what I saw a few minutes ago, I would be pessimistic about his status. Okay. I say that after talking to him yesterday, I thought there was a chance. He, you know, the doctors told him there was a chance for this week, but this might be one of those things where it gets pushed back to Dallas next week.
All right, which is fun. Listen, with him, you got to be able to, you know, you got to go and you got to be really smart and judicious with it. And look, you know, the beauty of that they have is they have depth up and down that line.
They do. I agree. And I got to say, I was pleasantly surprised with, you know, or I was impressed, right, I should say, with the way Jack Driscoll played there. I did not expect Driscoll to look like that on the left side. I mean, it's my own ignorance, if you will. I didn't view him as a left tackle. And with Andre Dillard out, Driscoll was, you know, the only guy they had to step in there at left tackle. And he held his own, and B, the Eagles didn't have to change anything when he was in there. So that's a credit to him. Now he gets a full week of practice. The Cardinals get a full week of tape. I don't think Dillard's going to be ready to go yet. The Eagles started Dillard's 21-day clock, but he did miss a lot of time. He's had some strength. So if Jordan's not out there, you're going to see Jack Driscoll. And again, Driscoll's not a natural left tackle. He hasn't played the position other than a few games at UMass, but he looked fine last week, so we'll see how that goes.
All right, let's talk defense real quick because,
you know, you mentioned about Murray. The one worry would be if Murray goes off and has one of his games. But they have been so good, sound defensively, and each week it's been somebody different. Of course, you know, we get to see Reddick get let loose. That's kind of been what's most impressive about them, you know, defensively, is that it's been a different guy, and he's tweaked the scheme. Where are you at with this Eagles defense?
I mean, these past 3 weeks, they've been lights out. And it's so impressive in terms of getting to the quarterback and forcing turnovers, because those were the two main priority points this offseason. They knew they needed to affect the quarterback more, 31st in the league in sacks last year, and they knew they needed more takeaways. So they're answering the bell. They're improved at all these key spots. James Bradbury's a major upgrade over Steve Nelson. Hassan Reddick's a major upgrade over Gennard Avery. The safeties are better than their safeties last year, certainly have more range. The linebackers aren't just holding their own. They're a value added to this group. So I think across the board, the personnel's better. I think Gannon is calling better games. And I think the key this weekend is that the Eagles are going to try to be more physical, right? I think they're going to try to beat up this Cardinals team. So we'll see how that goes.
I like it. How do you kind of see this one? I keep going back to it when I kind of analyze it. All right, well, they should be able to control the line of scrimmage again, because that's been an issue with Arizona. And I don't know. I mean, you know, Jalen, look, I mean, last week it was really difficult weather. But, like, he's been sound. I mean, you know, I mean, even last week, his decision-making has been spot on. So I don't see where that should stop.
I'm with you. I look at this matchup, and I like the Eagles' matchups across the board here. I mean, they do have some injuries that are concerning. You know, not having Mailata, he's not out there. Jordan Maddox isn't – I'm sorry, Devontae Maddox isn't out there. Jake Elliott might not play this game, so – so they're missing some notable players, uh-huh. but I still think the Eagles are the more talented team. One matchup to really watch is Dallas Goedert against this Cardinals defense. If you go back and you see what Travis Kelce did to them, I think the Eagles will probably try to do a lot of the same things here. I can see a big Goedert game. I like the Eagles winning this game, and the only variable is Kyler exploding, because Kyler has a chance of a huge game. He has it in him. He can hurt you. But I think this is one of those games where if they play it, you know, if they play a seven-game series, it doesn't go past five.
I like it. I like it a lot. That's great stuff. Zachariah on his way to Arizona. Have a safe trip, my brother. And we'll talk to you.
I appreciate it. I'll be watching the Phillies, and I'm checking out that Arizona State-Washington game tomorrow. So
looking forward to going to Sun Devil Stadium.
Looking forward to that. I want to see this Washington offense in person.
Yeah, it's legit. It's pretty good. Enjoy it, buddy. Good stuff, man. We'll talk next week.
Talk to you guys. Take care.
Here he is, the best. Zach Berman from The Athletic on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.